We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. Did somebody give you a really great gift last year? Is there a new person in your family or friend group that you want to impress? Does someone in your life deserve an extra special gift this year? Well, that's where Aura Frames comes in. And let me tell you, this is the number one rated gift for a reason. Here's what makes Aura so perfect. You get the frame, and then you can flip those digital assets over all year long. Download the Aura app, connect to Wi-Fi, and then you can add photos from anywhere, anytime. Unlimited photos and videos. Share effortlessly straight from your phone all year long. The frame arrives preloaded in a premium gift box with no price tag. Don't wait. The holidays are now with Aura Frames. For a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off their best-selling Carver Matte Frames, named number one by Wirecutter, by using promo code ZABE at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code ZABE. This deal is exclusive to listeners, and frames sell out fast. So order yours now to get in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Hey, you know that feeling when your mind won't shut off at night? Or the stress just keeps piling and piling up? What if I told you there might be a solution that you should check out? How about the folks at CBDFX? They recently sent me some samples. I know all about the CBD phenomenon these days, and I'm curious but a little bit skeptical. Well, I've been trying them out to find out what works best for me. There's a whole range of products, gummies, capsules, topicals, you name it. And I've been testing their CBD and CBD night capsules. They're built to get you asleep fast and keep you asleep all night. CBN is what they call the ultimate relaxation cannabinoid and is packed with other natural sleep support. They also make these original mixed berry CBD gummies that have won 4 Healthline Best CBD Gummy Awards, and they're gentle. And they have calming effects. They're great for overall wellness, and they actually taste good. Natural berry flavor. CBDFX has been doing this since 2014, so they've got it down. Everything is USA made with organic hemp. No GMOs, no pesticides, no harmful chemicals. All verified by third-party lab testing. Whether you want calm, focus, better sleep, or just an overall wellness boost, CBDFX has something for you. Right now, my listeners get 40% off your first order with code ZABE at CBDFX. That's code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo at CBDFX.com. 40% off using my promo code. Feel the difference with CBDFX. This is the ZABEcast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. All right, it's a Tuesday edition of the ZABEcast. My ride-alongs are some of my Wisconsin besties, Matt Miller, A Man About Film, and Eric J. Getter of Club Champion and Meat Quan.
What's the J stand for?
It stands for John.
Nope, still
James.
Not John.
James.
There you go.
Hey.
Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. I don't
all of the
care.
Above. Yes.
You know
Eric
what?
Judas Getter.
I don't care.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
Judas.
A little bit harsh right there, Miller.
It's harsh.
I don't care, boys, because you know what week it is.
Oh.
Packer. It's Bear Week.
All Packers! All day! Fuck the Bears! Fuck Chicago! Fuck you! It's Green Bay fucking Packers!
That's hurtful, Stu.
Fucking Packers. That's...
Love Stu Finer.
Having a normal one, clearly.
Finer. Oh, my God. So
it's so nice that this actually means something this time. Like, it's been a while since Packers Bear had some juice to it.
Yeah, you know? I bet you don't think last year's two games had juice to them. They both came down to field goals at the end, blocked field goals.
No, they were good games, but they didn't mean it. The Bears have not been a relevant football team for a minute.
Right, right. But they won on Friday, and that was shocking to a lot of people that they smacked the Eagles the way they did.
And then their OC's house got egged. So
Kevin Petullo's a house got egged for the Eagles, which, you know, that's just the savages in Philly. You guys saw the father, right, that kind of gave his son a big shoulder pat when he saw him double birding?
I did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
His boy just became a man that day.
The new official flag of Philadelphia.
That's right. It's like, look, my son's doing it. That's great. Mm-hmm. And you know 100% chance that was not double birding the Bears. It was double birding their own team.
100%. No one hates the Philadelphia Eagles more than Eagles fans.
Oh, yeah.
And the dad didn't have to teach his son. The son already knew what to do.
Came naturally, is what you say. It was in his DNA, basically. Yeah.
Those 31 strands or 23 strands or whatever, they come with double birds.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it funny, though, when fans turn on their own team and some people's reaction to that from outside the market? Like, on the one hand, I can joke and tease about being savages, and they are, but their offense
is... They eat horse poop.
They do, but their offense is so shitty that they deserve to boo Petula and the Eagles and Sirianni, who refuses to fire him.
Yeah. They are also the defending Super Bowl champions.
So what do you have to...
I don't know.
So what do you have to wait a year, Miller, until you boo your team?
I think they are, the four seed in the playoffs? This is like the Ohio State Ryan Day thing, where they're like, yes, we won the national championship, but we lost to Michigan, so we're going to have to crucify him in public. And it's just, you know, maybe it's the Wisconsin Midwestern in me, where it's just like, I don't know, guys, like, we're just kind of happy to be successful and to have any sort of spotlight, that these places that are so privileged, that are so like, oh, we only are the two seed in the NFC this year. I guess we're going to have to egg our offensive coordinator's house and tell our coach to commit ritualistic seppuku. I mentally cannot wrap my head around that.
Well, I think there's a thing about booing your own team, and it happened in Pittsburgh Sunday night or Sunday evening when they not only booed their own team, but they booed Renegade by Styx, their iconic third quarter into fourth quarter. This is akin, Gitter, to booing Jump Around.
Well, that doesn't happen.
At Camp Randall. Of course it doesn't happen ever. But this was a case where as soon as they started playing Renegade, they had enough. They're so pissed off. And now Monday has turned into sort of a de facto defend Mike Tomlin currently when he's not defensible as a coach. Do you know he ran his record to 62 straight games, 64 if you count the playoffs, scoring 7 or fewer points in the first quarter, which is the longest run of any coach without getting fired in the history of the NFL?
64 straight games without scoring a touchdown?
Without scoring 7 or more.
In fairness, several of those games were with Justin Fields and
Russell Wilson,
who's still their backup quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Denthead, Mason Rudolph, I call
Mason
him.
Rudolph, yeah.
Because of the helmet that he took from Myles Garrett. How's old Denthead? Still sucks.
Still somehow a backup quarterback for that same team.
Yeah.
Right. So I want to play a couple of bites here. Sometimes the get up crowd, they think that we've never watched sports in our life, and they are explaining it to us like we're children who wouldn't know a dumb argument if it hit us over the head. And I want to play this for you guys because I think the take is so dumb. It's like galaxy brain dumb in terms of, okay, so what are you saying exactly here? Hold on a second. Share screen. Get up. Okay. Here's good old Rex Ryan, lover of feet,
And Rex Ryan had a bad take. That doesn't sound like him.
Rex Ryan, lover of feet, with gigantic fake choppers, saying this about Tomlin and his tenure with the Steelers.
But, you know, the old adage, you know, is 10 years, you start to smell and all that, and your message gets lost.
First of all, what? I've never heard that adage. 10 years, you start to smell?
Awesome. I don't think that's the case with Mike Tomlin, all right? I just think right now, do Mike Tomlin a favor and fire him. He would get a job anywhere else in the league in 2 seconds. 2 seconds.
Are you sure about that?
Because I mean, I he would.
Guy, here's what I know.
Maybe
about
not as a head coach, a but leader. Yeah.
I think he'd have to go through a year of cooling off to sort of reset his brand. He's not screaming. He wouldn't be screaming into free agency as a coach on
Who's
a hot
his
streak.
Competition? Well, this is competition right
Bill
now.
Bill Belichick when he gets fired in North Carolina.
But I would take Tomlin over Belichick right now.
And what does Tomlin do well, Miller?
Regularly get a mediocre football team to the playoffs.
Ding. And then what?
Regularly lose in the playoffs with a mediocre team.
Okay. So you want to sign up for that. I mean, you know, Steeler fans, they have the most Super Bowls as a franchise in history, joined, I think, with the Packers, right, Gitter? Look that up for me.
Well, don't the Patriots have more?
I'll have to look that up right now. Let me continue hearing Rex Ryan here.
He's an absolute leader. Look, he's not getting older. In my opinion, his message is still current, all those type of things. I just think the roster. I mean, yes, I agree with you, D. Wood. They went all in, no question. But who would have thought that this defense would have been like this? Like, it's the highest-paid defense in the National Football League. And they are just getting smashed. Their offensive line, I mean, brutal. How bad was yesterday?
It was bad.
Bad. We said going into the game, Greeny, all of us sat around and said, whoever runs the ball the best in this game will win. Because that's what it was going to come down to.
Mm-hmm.
191 yards different in this game. Buffalo ran for over 191 more yards than Pittsburgh. Absolutely crazy. I've never seen it happen.
Never seen it happen. I'm sure it's happened before.
With backup tackles, I believe, too, because Josh Allen was giving his offensive line hugs and platitudes at the end of the game yesterday, too, because I think they had three starters out, and they still ran for that much more than the Steelers did.
How about Cam Hayward afterwards saying how mad he was that Josh Allen kneed him in the stomach? Like, that is not the Steeler way of the big bad quarterback hurt me. Boo hoo.
What is he supposed to do? Like, you get near him, you're supposed to just fall down? Like, not try to break a tackle?
I don't know. All I know is that at some point, you got to fire a coach. If you haven't scored more than 7 points in the first quarter for 64 games in a row,
that's wild.
And the guy has been there forever. And your team is vastly underperforming, and you don't have a good idea at quarterback, you got to fire him. And I know, I'm going to let you in on a secret. Mike Tomlin's black. And there is a thing about firing the black guy. They made a bit, Miller, on Curb Your Enthusiasm about it.
Oh, somewhat
you can
successful
fire the black man.
Show.
Right, exactly. But sometimes you just got to do it. And whether or not he gets another job in, quote, 2 seconds, is irrelevant to the whole, but is he working right now
this
where
does
he
feel,
is?
Yeah. This does feel like latter McCarthy-era Packers, where it was just like no one seems happy in this relationship. Every offseason, it feels like, you know, the Pittsburgh reporters are yelling at Tomlin, like, you know, like, what are you going to stay? And every time a job opens, they're like, Tomlin, eyes at the door, we see you. And it's just, the team's not playing that well. Aaron Rodgers is busting out the my receivers are bad thing all over again. Like, I just think maybe both guys, like both the Steelers and
Tomlin, that's another argument.
Just start seeing other people.
That's another argument that it's time. If things run their course, right? So it could be an argument in that front as well. All right, Miller.
I mean, 100, he would 100% be hired somewhere else. I mean, we are on retreads upon retreads. People are already having Mike McCarthy back at the top of, like, most hireable coaches and stuff like that. I mean, these coaches in the NFL, they have cat lives. No one is dead forever. DJ Durkin, who killed a kid in Maryland, was coaching Auburn this last weekend.
Not a good thing.
You can do some pretty awful things and be right back in the coaching carousel maybe a season
later. It wasn't
Brian
as
egregious. Kelly killed a kid, and he's not coaching right now. So
that's
you got
true.
That.
Give it 5 minutes. He'll be coaching, you know, Kennesaw State in a minute. Tulane's got a job vacancy now.
Did you see who was the Baylor coach that just got hired somewhere? I forgot. The football coach, not the basketball.
Oh, Art Briles.
Art Briles
in Division II.
Yeah. So
like New Mexico Southern State or something. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, enough of Pittsburgh. I know people are like, who gives a shit? Let's get Miller teed up on the best story of the weekend, which was, of course, Lane Kiffin. Nobody loves college football quite like Matt Miller. That was one of the sneaky things about you, Miller. I got to know you when we were doing the show in Milwaukee as the movie guy. And then slowly, I was like, holy shit, this guy's super into college football. Wouldn't have, you know, guessed that just by the makeup of everything. But I want you to just go on Lane Kiffin. Here's the ball. Run.
Here's the thing. I like college football, which is to say I like watching football on a field. I don't care about Lane Kiffin.
What?
Why was I getting Favre watch this weekend? Why was I getting Marty Smith or whatever his name is on
Marty
ESPN?
Smith.
Marty Smith in a closet somewhere being like, I haven't heard anything from Lane Kiffin. And then 15 minutes later, Lane Kiffin hasn't texted me back. Like, he's talking about some girlfriend he's trying to hook up with. Like, I get it. Lane Kiffin, really good football coach. It's kind of fun, this drama of, ooh, where's he going to end up? Is he going to still coach Ole Miss? This is a lot for basically what team is going to finish third in the SEC for the next 5 years, you know? Like, I just...
Interesting. So this has no intrigue, appeal, outrage, takes, angles from you? Nothing?
We had great football to watch this weekend, and for some odd reason, I had to keep hearing about a guy who wasn't coaching a football team this weekend.
Okay,
well, he did on Friday.
Do you have?
That's right.
Do you
have won the Egg Bowl?
All right. Do you have an opinion as to whether or not he should have been permitted to coach out the rest of the season in the playoffs and then leave?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He should not be allowed to coach Ole Miss.
Yeah.
You go not only in before the playoff. You not only do that, but you go to a in-conference rival. That's some Craig Council bullshit right there. So no,
number one bullshit is what that is.
I don't think you get to spend at least one more game wearing your ex's clothes and being like, oh yeah, make sure to follow my charismatic ass to a completely different place.
Yeah,
and I'm sorry, all these people are like, you're Ole Miss. You're never going to get back here again. They're an SEC school. They've got resources. They'll hire a guy who's going to be pretty good.
Well,
this isn't Middle Tennessee State. You know, you're Ole Miss. You'll be back.
You say that breezily, Miller, as if you're not aware of how low the program had fallen when they took a chance on the Florida Atlantic coach named Lame Kittens. Because they were down. Lane was down. They needed each other. So don't just assume that Ole Miss is going to rise again. They haven't been good since pretty much the civil rights era at Ole Miss.
Eli Manning was okay there. He had a few years, not like national championship. Well,
yeah,
level.
Like 500 years. I don't think they were.
I think they went maybe 7-5.
Yeah. All right.
You don't get to coach the team in the playoff when you've already said bye. That's not how this works.
I would agree. Getter, what about you? Do you think you should have been able to coach?
Oh, hell no. Absolutely not.
Okay. All right. Did you hear
you see the James Madison coach is going to UCLA now? And UCLA has said that he can stay and coach JMU if they're in the playoffs.
Wow. Okay. And we're going to get to that in a second. I assume, Miller, you got some hot takes on the current mess.
It's totally different because he's going from James Madison.
You're a Sun Belt school who like gets maybe one pity spot in the playoff every year in its current construction, going to UCLA, who has been in the desert for about 15 years.
Right, Miller,
you desperately tried to drink from the Chip Kelly Oasis and got tetanus and died.
I saw the headline on ESPN. It said, Chesney going to UCLA. I'm like, Kenny Chesney's coaching football now? What's happening here?
Yeah. All right. I like the analogy that Van Pelt had last night on Van Pelt Center about the argument, because it was incredible to see guys like, you know, Herbie and others say, well, just let him finish. And Van Pelt was like, on what planet are you living? Here was the analogy from Van Pelt.
But this is a divorce. And the analogy I'd make is this. If you're leaving me for one of our neighbors who I hate, but you tell me you want to stay through Christmas for the kids, I'm telling you to take your ass on down the road and we'll figure out Christmas with who's here. I appreciate it's a mature way to view it. Maybe I'm being immature, but damn it, I am, and I hold grudges, and there's no way in God's green earth I'd let him coach my team.
That's not a grudge. That's just common sense.
Because you're going to let someone raid the cupboards over Christmas?
Well, the analogy would be, like it really brings it into stark focus about, oh, yeah, it's that guy Chad who lives on the end of the cul-de-sac over on Elm Court, and he's such a dick. And he's got this bass boat, and he works out shirtless in the driveway, and my wife is fucking him. I can't believe it. And now she's leaving me for him, and I'm going to have to see him the rest of my life as long as she's living in that house. As I'm crippled financially in this house, I'm going to be visiting my kids at Chad's house. And on top of all that, she wants to stick around through Christmas and then try to tell the kids, hey, you should come with me over to Chad's because he's going to steal players along the way. The most untenable, insane situation. And yet Herbie argued for that with a straight fucking face.
And also, this isn't some guy who's been on good behavior throughout his career. This is Lane Kiffin, who has a history. He's on his, like, fifth or sixth husband.
He's proven hoe. Proven hoe. That kid, Ben Garrett, down there in Ole Miss, man, that guy's the biggest winner of the whole thing.
There's a cinematic masterpiece that covered this already. Ricky Bobby.
Oh, my God. That's right. Yeah. It's got a lot of Ricky Bobby going on with it for sure.
They could do a Ricky Bobby for SEC coaches.
Yes.
If Will Ferrell and Adam McKay still made movies, they should make like Ricky Bobby SEC coach, like the spiritual sequel to that.
Yeah.
Called Bobby Ricky.
Now there's certain things out there on the internet zeitgeist and the blogosphere or whatever you want to call it, just that are out there, legends that are out there that not everybody's heard of all the legends that are out there. I get introduced to new ones all the time. I'm talking things, Miller, like, you know, Leroy Jenkins. Some people don't know about that. It was a work allegedly, but who cares? It's funny as hell.
It's early internet. Yeah.
Early internet stuff. There is, or Lightsaber Kid. Remember that one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Shoes, the old YouTube video, Shoes.
I don't remember Shoes. I need to find out about
that. It was an early viral video.
I turned Charch on Getter to a guy on a buffalo.
Yeah, I heard that.
And he had never seen it. And so I got a text today. He said, tomorrow when I come on the pod, you need to give me some time to talk about this. And I go, oh, goody. I'm like, did you delve into all the legend and the tentacles of Guy on a Buffalo? And he's like, I'll save it for the podcast. Miller, have you seen Guy on a Buffalo?
It's been a long time.
But you're aware of it?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Are you aware of hysterical LSU girl?
Oh, this is the best.
In the kitchen.
You have recently shown me this gift. And it is a gift that keeps on giving.
Here she is. Somebody pointed out, probably a good time to bring this up again. This was when Ella, some year, God, I'm going to date this around 2007, 2008, I'm guessing.
That's fair. Yeah, I think so. That was because I remember we did the chant when we got on a heater at the blackjack table in Vegas one year. So,
oh yeah, we'll get to the chant in a second, but this is, I think this woman is a young wife.
Yes.
Cause they have a nice-ish house. How do I know it's nice? They got an island in their kitchen. That's always a measure of how nice is your house. You've got an island.
Got a patio door.
Right. Right. And, her husband, who's an LSU fan, is gloating and basking in the recent victory. And she clearly a bit too drunk, too many hottie toddies. Nah. For her, watching her Rebs, is just not having it. She's in a bad, low spot.
I hate her.
there goes the milk. Now, here's the masterpiece. It gets quiet for a few seconds. And the guy's waiting. The husband's waiting. Here it comes. Do you know what that salvo is, Miller? Mr. College Football Guy?
That's LSU fight song, correct?
It's called the Tiger Rag. So it's sort of like, you know how these college fight songs, they've got the actual fight song, but then they have these sort of warm-up riffs that precede the bust out into the full song. They call them fanfares.
The
yeah, overtures or fanfares. And so those three notes, ba 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 la, that sound is what every fan in the SEC who hates LSU, who's had their asses whipped by them over the years, has heard in their brain. And so this has sent this girl over the edge. And then she just slaps him with a spoon or something.
Yep.
Oh, my God. You know, what I want desperately is a Tosh.0 web redemption to catch up with the two of them.
Are they together?
No chance. And if they're together now, Miller, what do you think that household is like?
Violence. War of the Roses.
That's a crime scene is what it is. Just put the yellow
Netflix
tape.
True crime documentary in the works.
Right. But it'd be funny if they, like, I'd love to catch up with them. I'd love to just find out their names and call them and see if they'd come on the pod. I just want to hear, how's it going? Did you resolve things? You know, did you have, you know, absolutely nuclear, incredible anger sex that night over the outcome of the game? Maybe that's the way you made it. He made it up to you by doing, I don't know. I want to know, though. Inquiring minds want to know. This is the SEC, though, where it, what?
Matters more.
No.
Matters adequately enough.
No.
It just means more.
Means more.
Yeah.
So that brings us, Miller, to the current conundrum in the upcoming selection process this coming Sunday, right? Because they'll play the game Saturday.
Correct.
Sunday, the bracket comes out. We got a problem.
First rankings that matter.
We have two problems. You ready?
Yes.
Problem number one is if Alabama and who else wins, all the spots are taken. There's no
Alabama.
Room.
I think BYU.
Yes.
I think if BYU beats Texas Tech,
exactly.
Yeah.
Then there's no wiggle room. Then the following are out. Texas.
Well, Texas should be out. They have three losses.
That's a side argument. Notre Dame, your beautiful bride's alma mater, Mr. Miller.
Pray for me if BYU and Alabama win.
Yeah, make sure to record the viral video when she's slamming the milk carton down if they don't make it.
That's a good thought.
And then Miami is going to be screwed as well. And
Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt is going to have a case, and they're going to be screwed as well. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is this ACC situation. Now, some people love chaos.
Sorry, I'm Grinch laughing right
You're
now.
You're Grinch laughing. Do you love the chaos of this, of possibly Duke
chaos
every
time? Year?
Okay. So if Duke beats Virginia, and I got to check the spread on this, Duke sucks, but Virginia has played
7-5.
Yeah, but Virginia's played nobody. Virginia has missed the top four teams in the ACC because of their schedule. So they're a nice story, but they're a weak, weak sister.
And didn't they have a conference game that wasn't a conference game for
yes,
some reason?
They lost to NC State, but because it was non-conference, it didn't count. Now you might go, how is
it? I still don't understand. How is that non-conference? They're in the same conference.
Because the conference is so big. They can't play everybody every year, not even close. These are 20-team conferences, right? So they say, look, if you want to schedule them because you need to fill your schedule up, you don't want to fly somewhere far away, you don't want to have to, you know, whatever, it's convenient. It's convenient to play NC State. They're right down the road, okay? You can do it, but we won't count it.
Well, then for the Badgers, Oregon and Indiana were not conference.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice just to declare that right there?
The sound you heard is Florida State packing its bags and writing a note to the ACC saying goodbye forever. Like, I didn't know the ACC could become an even more of a quagmire than it was already a few seasons ago when Florida State missed out. But now you've got the situation where, due to this arcane, weird tiebreaker situation,
right,
the best team in your conference isn't in the championship, and your conference is so bloated with teams like Stanford and Cal, who are on the literal opposite coast. So you've got Duke now potentially representing your team, not potentially, actually representing your team in a championship. If they win, your conference is going, they're not going to have representation in this postseason.
Well,
they're just not.
That then the argument would be possibly giving two bids to the group of five,
which 100%
could be Tulane 100%. And JMU.
Yeah, or if North Texas, one-loss North Texas beats Tulane in the American Championship. How do you not put two teams that lost only one game each?
Yeah.
And then you put in Duke ahead of them? It would just, and then the discourse would be insane, because then you would have James Madison and North Texas in the playoff, not Miami, not Notre Dame, not Texas.
Now even
ESPN might implode and become a black hole, a dwarf.
Dwarf star.
Interstellar might break out.
Duke is only 2.5, believe it or not. That's amazing. Virginia.
Possible?
No, sorry. Virginia minus 2.5. Virginia already shredded Duke in Durham this year, and they could do it again. They won 34-17. Quarterback Chandler Morris shredded the Blue Devil defense, 316 yards and 2 touchdowns, but anything could happen. So the real question is, do you want one turd in Duke if they win, or two sort of turds in two group of five teams?
Give me the group of five teams.
Yes, 100%.
What do we love about the college basketball tournament?
Cinderellas.
We love Cinderellas, and we love the variety of characters. We already have enough major conference teams. We've already got enough of those kind of stories. If Duke becomes a Cinderella, sorry, you're not a fun Cinderella. You know, no one is excited about 18 and 14 Syracuse going on a run in the NCAA tournament. So give me North Texas and James Madison, who, might get absolutely smacked to hell and back. Yeah. But at least they're exciting and they're interesting and there's a compelling character there, versus Duke, who might also get smacked to hell and back. But then you're just bored because you're like, well, of course, they're an 8-5 ACC team. They shouldn't have been here by any definition.
You know, one of the things I love most about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. If you are overwhelmed by the hiring process, or you've been struggling to get your job posts seen, listen up. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps right to the top of the page for relevant candidates, so you reach exactly who you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, according to Indeed data. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this podcast will get $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the podcast by saying you heard about it right here on this pod. Indeed.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need. Free is a zero tobacco nicotine pouch designed for people who want a simple, hassle-free way to enjoy nicotine without smoke, vapor, or the smell. Everything about Free is engineered for ease. Fast flavor, fast effect, and fast delivery straight to your door. The strength range goes from 3 milligrams all the way up to 15 milligrams. So whether you're looking for something on the lighter side or you want maximum strength, they've got you covered. Flavors, mint, wintergreen, watermelon, which is new, plus lush, sweet, and original. Enough variety that picking a flavor feels like picking a mood. Available in single tins, mega packs, and bundles for those who like to commit. The pouches come pre-primed, so flavor and effect hit instantly. No waiting around. They're soft, flexible, sit comfortably, and the whole setup is discreet. Compact tins, zero smoke, zero vapor, perfect for meetings, commutes, or just getting through the day. You can get your instant delivery straight to your door or pick them up whenever you normally get your nicotine. Right now, my listeners can get 20% off their order at freepouch.com. That's F-R-E pouch.com with promo code LISTEN20. That's freepouch.com, F-R-E pouch.com. And use promo code LISTEN20 to get 20% off today. F-R-E, free. Strength you can count on. The holidays are here, and if you've got names on your list that are impossible to buy for, don't panic. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you can't find anywhere else. You'll discover presents that feel meaningful and personal, never rushed or last-minute. I found something perfect for any football fan in your life, the New York Times custom football book. You pick your favorite NFL team and they create a custom book with actual front page coverage from the Times going all the way back to that team's early years. We're talking historic games, championships, legendary moments, over 90 pages of real newspaper history. Talk about a gift that will blow them away. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, book lovers, sports fans, foodies, mixologists, and gardeners. You'll find unforgettable gifts that are anything but ordinary. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. And with every purchase you make, they give $1 back to nonprofit partners of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zabe. That's uncommongoods.com/CZA-Bravo-Echo for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. The other bit of a kerfuffle that has now arisen is that of College Game Day. College Game Day is choosing to go to the SEC championship game, which does not feature 1 versus 2. That belongs to the Big Ten. And some are saying it's because, well, Fox owns the Big Ten and the rights, and they don't want to do anything to help a rival network out. And so they're choosing to go back again to the SEC, their familiar stomping grounds.
But yet they went to the Ohio State-Michigan game last week.
And they went to Oregon twice this season. Twice.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Hey, listen, those are great counter narratives. I'm just presenting what is bubbling up on the internet. Look, I think that Indiana and Ohio State is a hell of a compelling story. I got to check the point spread on that, by the way. Do we know what the number is?
It's bigger than the SEC championship.
Okay, well, and you know, Georgia-Alabama is a classic. It's a banger, but we've 100%. Seen it. We've seen it. This is like John Cena championship belt matches. Yeah. Seen enough.
This is Warriors, Cavaliers.
Well, he's only got one match left, so give him a break.
Is that true? He's got one left?
He just lost over the weekend at Survivor Series.
How do you know this, Getter?
Because it's on ESPN now.
But do you
did
follow
you know that John Cena hosts Wipeout?
I did not.
He does?
Yeah, John Cena, massive movie star, wrestling star, also, for some odd reason, co-hosts Wipeout, which is also still on TV. That does not seem like a good use of your time.
I was a fan of Wipeout when Jill Wagner, the Mercury spokesmodel on TV,
yeah,
the car
remember
model.
Mercury.
Remember Jill? Okay, don't be a dick. Do you remember Jill Wagner?
No, I remember those. That was a car. That was a car dealer. That was a car company that existed once. Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked Wipeout, by the way. I kind of like I liked it because I kept thinking to myself, someone's gonna die. Even though they've got big padded foam sort of whatchamacallits, you know, like arms and slides. And there's water, and I'm sure there's a bunch of rescue people, CPR people, you know, right offs camera. Someone at some point will die on Wipeout. And then what are they going to do with the show?
Do you say CPR people?
They'll just,
yeah,
you
CPR
mean like
people.
Medics?
Yes. They'll move it to Showtime. But it is a very good American MXC. You know, like there's no replacing the original, if you remember MXC from the Spike TV days.
No, what's that?
Oh, Zabe, you would have loved it. It was basically in Japan, I believe it was. They
oh,
had
this is
a
Japanese hard ass.
They had a version
shows.
Of Wipeout there where it was just people wrecking themselves on foam obstacles. And they would dub over it. Like they would just have like
oh
guys,
yeah,
like,
yeah, I've seen
have,
that.
And
yeah.
They'd do like funny voices and they would be like, oh, my name's Keith Farts. And they'd have them like run directly yeah. into a door. Yeah. It was outstanding 11 o'clock at night television. It yeah. was just supreme. I'm on my, you know, 12th beer and the sports are done. MXC is on. Let's watch some people wreck themselves. And Wipeout has that energy. It needs to be a little bit more unhinged, but
okay.
I mean, if it got any more unhinged, we'd have broken, actual broken people.
There's Jill Wagner for you.
A
absolute dime. I don't know what she's doing now, but she's probably like, this is the greatest gig ever. I'm going to go on to stardom. Agent, start lining me up for Hollywood movies. Let's go. And now, I don't know where she's at. Maybe she's still got commercials. You know who's really killing it is the Toyota-thon woman.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are you aware of her story?
No.
Well, there's a story? I'm assuming she's just an actress.
She auditioned for a job.
Laurel Kopic. Laurel Kopic was a member of the main company of the Groundlings in L.A., and is best known for her lengthy run as the role of Jan in the Toyota-thon commercials, still going strong after beginning in what year do you think those began?
2013.
That's pretty good, Miller. That would be 2012. Like,
wow.
This is what you want in Hollywood if you can't get yourself a like superstardom. Just make sure that you've got a gig that pays nice. Year after year after year. It's 100%. Why Drew Carey, when Drew Carey went to go do Miller, the what is it?
Price is Right. Yeah.
I didn't understand it. I was like, you're Drew Carey. You're a successful stand-up. You're on the Whose Line Is It Anyway? Are you going to do this old lady show that they sit around during the week, retired in
television? Yeah.
Right. But then I found out, A, what it pays, and B, how many they knock out in one session.
Why do you think Bob Barker did it until he was 100?
Right, exactly. Do you think Bob Barker actually betted any of those beautiful models that were the presenters? Do you think he ever got with them?
Oh, Diane Parkinson, for sure.
Miller, do you think you ever slayed any of them? Like said, hey, come on. You know,
all I know of is Bob Barker as an old man, and I just I'm not
you don't
want to
think about it.
Visualize that. But there is a level of control too when you are a big enough person in some of these commercials that you get to like start calling the shots in a lot of cases. So was it the Verizon girl? Milana Weintraub was
there. You go. Yeah,
Milana Weintraub. Yeah, she got a little bit chesty. Can I say that? This is a joke, people, because there were ample bosoms. She didn't like the fact that she was being sexualized, so she was able to successfully get them to dumb down and really blunt her wardrobe.
And I think she got to direct some of the commercials, too. She was like she became such a significant, because it's like, you're not going
to
get rid of her.
I want
to. And it wasn't
direct.
Because of the like sexual stuff. It was because of like, hey, like, you are the fulcrum of our ad campaign. Direct the ad, too. Why not?
So, well, and I'm sure they focus group test the living shit out of all this stuff. And when they hit upon a person that actually, you know, works for them, that they have proven, like, yes, our audience, our target demo loves this person, they just will, they're like, why risk going away from her?
Oh, it'll be 100%.
Right. If it was like a 7% dip in sales, my ass is fired.
Mm-hmm. I need a documentary about the guy who first played Jake from State Farm. I need a documentary about that guy, because there was an original commercial, the Jake from State Farm one, where it's like the guy calling State Farm in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And his wife's
what are you
like,
wearing?
Who are you talking to? What Khakis. Are you wearing, Jake from State Farm? The original commercial was just like a guy. It was just like a schlubby dude in mm-hmm. a chair. And then they redid it with Jake from State Farm,
yeah.
and that dude becomes the monolith. That dude gets to sit courtside at every NBA event and gets to shake hands with Caitlin Clark when she's drafted before the commissioner of the WNBA, and gets to be one of the richest men on earth. And I'm just like, where is that man? Where is Jake from State Farm 1.0? And how much does he like? How much effort does it take to wake up every morning knowing that another man has your gigantic paycheck?
Well, he's probably like Ron Burgundy when Veronica Corningstone replaces him on the news in San Diego, just walking the streets with his milk.
Honestly, how do you recover from that, from being like, that was literally me? That Eric Stoltz,
right,
playing Marty McFly, and then mm-hmm. they're like, no, you're bad. Michael J. Fox, come in here. Your life's just got that ruined his career on
so,
a level.
So who started playing Marty McFly?
I believe it was Eric Stoltz. I think
and
that
who,
was the original.
How would I
guy
know
cast.
Eric Stoltz?
That's the guy who almost played Marty McFly.
Okay, what like, else?
He was in some stuff. He still had a career. But it was like, it's too intense. It's not, this isn't fun. It's too dramatic. And so there's like footage out there, I believe, of Eric Stoltz as Marty McFly.
Oh,
and they were like, this isn't working. Bring in Michael J. Fox. And Michael J. Fox brings this youthful energy, and he's a lot more, you know, snappy and a lot more energetic. And Back to the Future becomes one of the most iconic movies of all time, one of the biggest franchises in history. And Eric Stoltz is like,
yeah,
I guess that's my life.
So here you go. Entertainment Weekly, why future Office star was fired from Back to the Future after Michael J. Fox replaced Eric Stoltz.
Office star is a really generous thing to call Eric Stoltz.
God, I forgot.
It makes it sound like he's like Michael Scott. Like, I think he maybe like cameoed.
Okay, where was he in this article here does not have a picture of him in The Office, but I could find it for you. Well,
he
kind of
looks like David Bowie. Like, he was in Pulp Fiction. He was in Anaconda. Like, I think he's the guy at the diner table. I think that's what you know Eric Stoltz from. I want to say he's like the guy at the diner table. No, that's Tim Roth. He's in Pulp Fiction. He's not insignificant in that. But otherwise, his career is like a guy who's around.
Okay. I found a picture here. I'm going to hit you with it right now. Stoltz. Let me add this to the chat right there. Okay. Boom. That guy.
Yeah, he kind of looks like a David Bowie.
Handsome fella. Had he been in that movie, though, would have changed his life for sure.
Or maybe it would have ruined an all-time great movie. Maybe Back to the Future doesn't become a thing.
Wow.
It's a whole nother. They could make a meta Back to the Future movie about what if Eric Stoltz was in Back to the Future, franchise doesn't exist, and Michael J. Fox has to go back in time to make sure that his younger self is cast in the movie. Did I just make a great Back to
the Future? I think you did. Although I've heard over the years, Miller, you're not a fan of time travel as a concept.
Well, certain time travel premises are better than others, I'd argue.
I mean, my 9/11 time travel movie is sitting there waiting to be made.
Boy, and Miller, I just texted you about this the other day.
I swear, I didn't do this on purpose.
Okay, let me, because my podcast audience doesn't overlap perfectly with the 97.3 The Game audience. The 97.3 The Game audience has heard this probably multiple times, but I'll get everyone
caught up. Because we'd always talk about how dumb an idea it was, but go ahead.
Okay, so my idea for a movie is a 9/11 time travel where somebody sees 9/11 happen and somehow gets to time travel, but he's got to go around the country trying to convince all the people that, hey, this Egyptian guy taking 757 flight classes in Florida, no good. You need to arrest this guy. And then the authorities look at him like, you're crazy. You're under investigation. He's running from the authorities because you know how it is. They're not going to believe some crazy guy. They're going to think that you're the one that's the threat. And then trying to stop the people from getting on board the planes with the box cutters in Boston. I mean, it's got hair on the back of your neck, standing up straight, Miller. Action, excitement, entertainment. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with the concept?
I'm just having a hard time seeing people entertained
by 9/11. They've made 9/11 movies. Are you saying it's too sensitive, even though it's been all these years later?
It is still kind of a third rail, I would say.
Is it
and
really?
I'm saying this, I mean, there have been 9/11, obviously United 93, mm-hmm. which was a very good movie, but that is a very thoughtfully done, restrained movie. World Trade Center, similarly kind of thoughtful, restrained, very sentimental in terms of its tone. There's the movie called 9/11 starring Whoopi Goldberg and Charlie Sheen. Nothing I've said is incorrect. That is a real movie that got a theatrical release.
I never heard that. It sounds awful.
Oh, you haven't There's heard of the Whoopi Goldberg, Charlie Sheen 9/11 movie?
No.
That I watched in a theater by myself?
What was the plot, Miller?
Charlie Sheen is a guy stuck in an elevator in the World Trade Center on 9/11. And he's like trying to repent for his past sins and lifestyle choices to Whoopi Goldberg, who I think is like a paramedic on the line. And then I think he dies because 9/11. You can see why maybe. That was not a box office smash.
Yeah. How did that not win an Oscar?
Hold on a second. So it wasn't Charlie Sheen repenting for Charlie Sheen's sins. It was Charlie Sheen repenting for a random character he's been cast as.
I believe his character is like a workaholic who's reflecting on, oh, I shouldn't have worked so hard. Now I'm in 9/11.
Okay.
Not a cokeaholic like Charlie Sheen is in
right.
real life.
So in other words, it wasn't like...
It might have been, but there is a meta level of the casting where it's like, watch Charlie Sheen atone for his sins and also it's 9/11, which is just,
and
it's
Whoopi,
never a good idea.
And Whoopi was the sympathetic counselor on the other end of the line.
I the believe that was the case.
Whoopi couldn't Goldberg save him like, physically, but could at least talk him through his remorse in this moment of fate.
I think she's like trying to come up with like plans to get him out of the elevator, but then it becomes like, just think about your life and choices, Charlie Sheen. But he's not playing Charlie Sheen, so I don't know. Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen. Did Whoopi repent for her shitty takes on The View in that movie or no? I guess that wasn't part of it.
I believe this may have been pre-shitty View.
Okay.
Takes.
Did she repent?
It's the number one daytime talk show. How dare you besmirch that?
Did she repent for when her then husband Ted Danson dressed up in blackface before that became a cancelable thing? Probably not.
I forget. They did some sort of apology tour for that, didn't they?
They might have. So
what a moment in time.
What a moment in time. So just
who thought we were getting here today. It's Bear Week.
I know. We got to steer it back to college football.
Listen, you talk about one atrocity, the Chicago Bears, you're going to end up talking about another atrocity, blackface and 9/11.
So just for the record, I want it stated for those that are aware of this ongoing trope that me and Miller have. My idea of a 9/11 time travel movie, which has huge upside. In fact, I'm already thinking about casting Tom Cruise, maybe. Jeremy Renner has agreed to look at the project for me, Miller. Non-committal
what about
yet
Sydney
on that.
Sweeney? Can you get her?
We're working on Sydney as the love interest of the protagonist, maybe a flight attendant. I'm not sure. Just work with me on this. That movie is mocked by Miller, but the movie you just described with Charlie Sheen and Whoopi Goldberg has been made and filmed and edited and scored and colored and delivered to theaters to promptly lose a shit ton of money. And right. I'm the bad guy.
So it's their fault that your movie can't happen, basically. Oh. It's Charlie Sheen and Whoopi Goldberg's fault for you not being able to do your movie.
Yes, this is the worst thing Charlie Sheen and Whoopi Goldberg have ever done.
All right. If I were to cast, say, a younger Melania Weintraub, there she is looking wonderful, I think a few years ago. That looks like a younger picture of her.
No, that is very relevant because the words behind her are J. Kelly, which is the Netflix movie, George Clooney Netflix movie coming out, I believe, this weekend. So
oh, nice.
That is now.
Look at her. And if I can't get her, then I can always go to Toyotathon Jan, Laurel Kopic right there.
And Eric Stoltz can also play the hero in the movie.
No, I'd bring Eric Stoltz in just to tease him, like, hey, we're really thinking about casting you. And at the last minute, he'd go, ah, no, we're not. We're going to get Michael J. Fox.
We're going to get Michael J. Fox.
With his advanced Parkinson's. He's going to play it. He's like, I can't beat this guy out. This is outrageous.
He must have the worst anxiety, right? Like, even when he's at the premiere of a movie that he's completed, he's got to be like, did they recast me? Like, am I going to sit down for this movie and it's just going to be like Robert Pattinson for 90 minutes in my part? And I'm going to be like, God damn it. It happened again. Foxed again.
So get on record. If Duke pulls the upset, does the committee take him?
No.
No.
So they're going to choke on taking North Texas and JMU. 1/6 of their precious field.
Can I get conspiracy minded on you?
That's what I'm here for. All day, every day.
I think they take North Texas and JMU, knowing how angry various blue bloods will get, and knowing that then they will be able to make the argument for A, expanding the playoff, and B, making sure the group of five have less of a role in it. They can make the group of five their scapegoat for the other teams not being good enough.
So in other words, invite the two G5s, hope they get their asses whooped, and then turn right around and go, see, why do we even hold a seat for these pitchers?
There's no loss in that if you're the greater minds that be. Because if they win, if one of Tulane or North Texas or JMU win, you get to be like, wow, what an exciting Cinderella story. Truly, there's nothing like the playoff. And also, we should expand it because don't you want to see more of these guys, plus those rascally Texases and Miamis and Notre Dame you missed out on? If they lose, if they get pounded, then the NCAA gets to be like, oh, see what happens when we try to invite you to our parties? All right, no more mandatory spot for you guys unless we expand the playoff and then we get everybody. And I think it's a no lose that way. Whereas with Duke, the only issue if Duke gets in is with the ACC, and the NCAA is fine to be like, ACC, figure your shit out, get a better tiebreaker.
You know what, Miller? You're a pretty smart man. I can see that as a possible angle, but you don't think they're actually talking about this now, do you? They're just hoping for the best playoff possible. They're not scheming. They're not engineering machinations, these guys,
no,
are they?
Why would they?
No.
Okay. Can we talk about the Sunday night football game before we're done here?
Of course.
And Land Clark, who Scott Lynn says on You Are Looking Live, it's my land, it's your land, it's Land Clark officiating the game. This guy sucks the biggest bag ever and should be suspended for a week minimum. Had back-to-back calls in which Terry McCauley, of all people, Terry McCauley, former NFL referee and a pretty good ref, but turned into a TV referee, which there's a phrase that if you went back 30 years, if somebody coming out of a 30-year coma, you'd have to go, yeah, no, they're former referees. Are they always on TV? Yeah, they're on TV to explain the rules. I thought the announcers were supposed to know the rules. Yes, yeah. Son. They were supposed to know the rules, but they just gave up on that. The rules are too complicated
now. We know them by name.
Right, exactly. And then you're like, well, who is this guy on ESPN What's this guy's, the funny guy's name? He's not even a former referee. He's like a officiating assistant that ESPN has hired because they're so fucking cheap. They're like, we're not paying for a real ex-ref. We're going to get this coordinator guy.
Yeah, I forget. Is it the bald guy?
No, that was John Perry, who they used to have. And he's out now. ESPN ref on TV. This is where you not having your phone hurts us because you're quick.
Sorry.
That's all right. We'll have to figure out a new thing for this.
I'll get my iPad for the next time.
That's okay. Anyway, Lan Clark fucked up so bad that Terry McAuley twice said, yeah, that's a mistake. That's not a penalty. One on a motion penalty against Terry McLaurin. Wrong call. Flat out said wrong call. Another one on a intentional grounding by Mariota that he was like, no, that's wrong as well. The receiver was right there. It went over his head. Sure, it went 30 feet over his head, but it doesn't matter. That's not the rule. Now, Terry McAuley, I want to give you some background on this. And again, Terry McAuley was a good ref who I think when he went to go take this sweet TV money, sort of like Bob Barker
Drew Carey
on Price is Right. He made the right move for him and his family, like Lane Kiffin. But it hurt the ranks of officials, of white hats, Gitter, crew chiefs, Gitter. Gitter, by the way, Gitter's a referee. Did you know that? How many games are you doing this winter, buddy?
Nope. I'm retired.
You're out retired of the reference. High school.
Wow, Terry McCauley'd your ass.
Yes, I did.
Okay. So where was I? So anyway, McAuley was good, but when he left, it hurt their ranks of white hats because he was good. He could actually keep the chaos from breaking out in a game. But Terry McAuley, to me, up until the last couple weeks or last night, has always been Mr. Defend the Referees whenever it's 50. Yes.
Always.
He is a very much,
And you guys have come to that. Ranks. You guys have come to that opinion on him independently of my observations, correct?
Correct.
Okay. He's very much a defend the troops guy.
Do you know that once McAuley found a tweet of mine, Miller, in which I didn't even him and then clapped me a day after because it was the Packer Niner game from 5 years ago. And I just eviscerated McAuley. Didn't poke him though, didn't at him. Because I'm not that kind of guy. I don't need the smoke. Don't want the smoke. Not trying to humiliate you. I'm just offering an opinion out there on the internet. I was like, Terry McAuley is the worst. He sucks up to these refs. It's always about the brotherhood of the stripes. He did it. He found it. Someone said it. He found it, and he clapped me. He came back to me. So
the
when
Kevin
I
Durant of referee,
right? But it was his account though. That's the thing. It wasn't even a burner, Miller.
So when
I heard McAuley twice just say, no, that's wrong, I was like, spit coffee out my nose. And I wasn't even drinking coffee at the time. Shocking. That's how bad Lan Clark is. Well,
I have to correct you on something here quick, Zabe.
Yes,
this
please.
Is essential with the Terry McAuley context. You said Terry McAuley doesn't allow chaos to break out. Terry McAuley was at the center of the ultimate chaos. Terry McAuley was the lead referee in Bottlegate.
Jaguars
Browns game.
Cleveland. Right.
Yeah.
By the way, this is Lan Clark right here. Very fit fella. He's a wannabe hockey, but he sucks. And do you know where they got him from? The Pac fucking 12. Conference, Miller, has more notoriety for the most dysfunctional, batshit crazy officiating in football than the Pac-12.
It's not even a conference. No. Why would you poach people from them?
Well, it disintegrated. Oh, no. You know what? It's still alive.
No, there's two teams.
Two whole teams, baby.
They finished 1-1 each in conference this year.
There's two teams, and did you see who they're adding? Because they're coming back in 2026.
Yeah, isn't it Boise State and Texas State? It's like the who's who of who's that. Like if they're a random Sun Belt team or a random Mountain West team, congratulations, you are now a Pac-10 school.
you know, don't talk about the Conference of Champions. God, I miss Bill Walton so much. Rest in peace.
Oh, God.
Super Sky point to him. Here's who they're adding. You ready? The who's, what'd you call it? The who's who of what's what?
The who's who of who's that.
Yeah. Okay. Boise State. Good addition.
Fine. A good pick. Yeah.
Fresno State.
That's a real
home of Trent Dilfer and Derek Carr or David Carr. Devontae Adams.
Both. I believe both cars went there.
Yeah, right? I think they all did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Colorado State University. You may know them from, hey, that team with the green helmet and the Rams horns.
That team that almost but not quite beat Deion's Colorado. That,
right, once upon a time.
Was too dirty to beat Colorado.
San Diego State.
Ooh, go Aztecs.
Former sure. LaDainian Tomlinson breeding ground. Okay.
That's right. Yeah.
Then Utah State.
Hey, Jordan Love represent.
Jordan Love.
Not Utah.
Utah State. Right. Utah State, Jordan Love, and Chris Cooley, former radio colleague of mine, tight end who made the most of his NFL career and is sitting on his millions of dollars up in Montana with his lovely wife and kids. And then Texas State, which is in $5, Miller, if you can tell me what city they're in. Texas State.
Oh, what city? It's not Waco. I don't know. Not Waco, but I'll say Waco. Aren't they the Wildcats, right?
No. Get her $5. Where is Texas State?
I'll go with Abilene.
No. San Marcos.
Mm.
No fucking idea where San Marcos is. And then
isn't that a pizza brand? Isn't that a chain?
That's just called Marcos, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then
good pizza,
then,
though.
And then they're adding Gonzaga, which, to my understanding, does not play football.
They do not.
So that's going to be a weird appendage right there. But I do love the fact that Wazoo and Oregon State said, no, we're fucking staying. Like, we're going to take whatever intellectual property, whatever IP assets are left, and we're not going anywhere, and we're gonna rebuild with whoever we can
get. We're going to get all the Kirkland brand Western schools. We're going to unite them under our umbrella.
This was not unlike when Michael Scott had the party in his hotel room at the paper convention, and yes. He was just happy to take anybody who would come into his room. Anyway,
land just a little bit like the Michael Scott when he like starts his own paper.
Michael
company.
Scott paper company.
Yeah, this yeah. The Pac-12 has real Michael Scott paper company vibes of like, yeah, Bam is there. Honestly, if you're Boise State, why would you not hold out for the Big 12? Why would you not?
I don't know. I like. Do you think that we're done with all the conference realignments? Because I don't think so.
As long as there is a have and a have not of conferences, there will always be movement.
Well,
so as long as there's a power five, a group of five,
right,
that are kind of shuttered off to the side, there's always going to be a Boise State or somebody who wants to get into the club.
I think that they're going to realize part of the problem is the mega conferences that don't allow for playing each other on a regular basis makes it impossible to run the tournament come December. We're seeing this with the Duke situation. Yep. Miami didn't even have a chance because of the schedule to play any of the teams that they would have otherwise been in the ACC title game for because of the schedule. Just fell that way, basically. So I think they're going to probably retrench to slightly smaller. We'll see, but who knows.
Or will they make the playoff bigger?
That's more likely to happen, yeah. I would say.
Well, it's going to 16 next year, is it not? That's been greenlit, has it not?
I can't keep up, honestly.
It's only year two. Are they going to change? They already changed it for this year from last year with the ranking of the
you know what, to be a conference champion to be the top four. No,
so.
You know what? They teased it. They wanted to do it and they didn't quite have the votes. So yeah, but it says here, November 30th of 2025, at long last, we have a bubble, a controversial high profile bubble. And then they go on to say it needs 16 teams. So
why do 16? Just jump straight to the 24. You know you want to do it.
Would 24 be any good, though? Because, you know...
No, it would suck.
It's a TV show.
All right, I've been radicalized into believing in the 2014 playoff.
Have you really? Okay.
I've been pestered enough by annoying fucking SEC and Big Ten stands on Facebook that I'm like, screw it. Let's do 24. Every conference champion gets in, and like... put in all the at-larges then. You have basically the top 20 teams then in every tournament. No one's going to complain about the 23rd best team in. And if they do, no one will care because you're the 23rd best team. You should have been better. And then we can just move on from all this discourse and debate, and we can just enjoy an insane tournament.
All right. I know you don't like the off-the-field stuff, Miller, but Gitter and I love it. Two more pieces of Lane Kiffin-Akana. Little Lane Kiffin-Akana. You ready?
Sure.
Did you see Lane Kiffin being
booed
literally out of town by a bunch of toothless Rebs fans who'd gotten up to the fencing around
teethless,
the private jet?
They only have one.
Yeah, the toothless. Toothless and the teethless. Have you seen this, Miller?
Give me this. Put it in me.
There's a double bird. Bring it full circle.
That is awesome.
It's just like weird that they would have Kiffin leave a place like that. Well, it's just not his kind of behavior.
Well, because it's normally in the middle of the night when no one will see him leave.
The fact that they were so close relative to the plane, you would have thought that somebody would have said, hey, park the G4 over here. Because they drive the black SUV right up to the plane. Yeah. They could have had it at the end of the runway, farther away from the toothless Reb fans. But look at this. That is a lasting image, and sadly, Miller, it's fucking vertical. God damn it! Dipshits! What a great asset that has. The guy that's standing up, but he's double birding it, and it's loud, and it's angry. Somebody said this has early regional wrestling vibe to it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Am I right about that?
Yes.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
Good.
Hey, Hulk Hogan, what are you doing in our territory, man? You stay in the Carolinas. That's your territory. Boo! Mm-hmm. All right, so there's that, and then there's this. You threatened to do something that I don't think you're going to follow through on, Miller. Never threaten to do things you're not willing to actually follow through on. Because this woman down at Ole Miss, this chef, I guess, I'll find it for you right here, her name is Elizabeth.
I was afraid you were going to pull up a clip of me saying I was going to walk into Lake Michigan and then I was going to die.
What did you say you were going to do? You said you were going to walk into Lake Michigan.
I oftentimes say that I would walk into Lake Michigan.
I think you said it on the podcast today about something.
Yeah, like I said, I have every time, very commonly.
Okay, so here she is. This is Chef Elizabeth Heiskell on the Paul Feinbaum Show. On November 12th, she said, if he does leave us, I will strip down butt naked and will run around the Oxford Square. Here's the chef.
I think y'all have a whole lot more interesting things to discuss than Lane Kiffin leaving Ole Miss. You are wasting your time. You are wasting your breath. Mark my words, he is not leaving. And I'll tell you right now, if he does leave us, I will strip down butt naked and I will run around the Oxford Square. There you go. I said it and I will. That's how confident I am that he is staying and we will see him next year.
Hard to believe she's drinking wine in that
clip. Yeah. Chardonnay in the middle of the day.
Here, let me hear what Feinbaum says.
Here.
Man, you now have me hoping he leaves. We will televise that live right here.
You horny Mr. Magoo.
Now she is, am I right, the quintessential Southern housewife who's just attractive enough that if she did follow through with this stunt, you'd be like, yeah, send me the video. But she's not hot enough that you're salivating over it, right?
Well, Paul Feinbaum is probably.
Look at him. He's blushing.
He's like, yeah, let's go. So, in the honor of
the space alien is into it.
In honor of the SEC, where it what?
Just means more.
Thank you.
Something.
Does the chef does she have to follow through?
Yes.
Yeah.
She does. She does.
Absolutely.
And you know what? I don't want to see underwear and bra. No. You said
butt naked. That was her words.
Butt naked. So you get whatever waxing you need, hon. We'll give you 6 weeks to get in the gym real hard, tone up as you may see fit, and you can pick what part of Oxford Square you're going to run around. Can be the smallest part possible. And you could do it at a secret time where nobody knows, but there's got to be film evidence of it. And then they can blur out your jumblies and your jiblies for Feinbaum's show, but then has to go on his show. Otherwise, these bets have no currency. They've got no backing. They've got no credibility. What are we as a sports society if we're not going to follow through on our boasts? Just saying.
It's funny to say, what is sports if we don't have our word when we're talking about Lane Kiffin?
I know. And all the players who will be leaving in the portal the second they can. So, yeah. Everyone's operating out of their own naked self-interest. I use that word for a reason.
What up, Bob?
All right. Miller, no time today for Wicked for Good review. I know people are you're devastated by that, aren't you, people? I know you are. They're like, thank God. But maybe next
week. I'll make it real fast. Movie's mid.
Okay, fair enough. Getter, did you see any movies with the kids lately?
I have not.
Okay.
No.
I'm going to see Zootopia 2 with Catherine this week. She's quite excited.
There you go.
So. I've heard good things. Okay. I've heard good things. Have you seen the first one?
Maybe. I see them all. I see basically all of
them. Did you take minutes.
You take a nap in it?
Listen, I see almost every animated movie with my daughter, and I love doing it. It's a great tradition we have. But the last one I stayed up the whole way through for, I don't even remember. So, yeah.
Toy Story.
Might have been Toy Story.
Song of the South.
Okay, boys, what a wonderful, productive podcast. You've been very generous with your time. Please go see Getter over at Club Champion in Mequon, Wisconsin. Get fit for the latest in golf clubs, shafts, putters. I mean, all the high-tech stuff to play better golf. Anything, you name it. And Mr. Miller has a wonderful Substack called A Man About Film, where he covers the depressing downward spiral of the movie industry that he loves so much, with hopes
the old miss of entertainment,
which we hope someday has a turnaround. But
it's
this year
better.
Doesn't look like it. All right, boys, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you as always. And what do we say about the Bears? Fuck the Bears.
Exactly.
All right.
Still suck.
Bears still suck.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have yourself a great Tuesday, and we will see you next time. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.